For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Messini. My guest today is A. Kendra Green. She's a writer and artist who has worked at the Chicago History Museum, the University of Iowa Museum, and the Dallas Museum of Art, where she was a writer in residence. Her latest book is The Museum of Whales You'll Never See, a collection of essays and drawings recounting her excursions to some of the most unusual museums in Iceland, including the Icelandic Phallological Museum, which boasts a collection of penises from every mammal known to exist in the country, and the Museum of Icelandic Sorcery and Witchcraft, which attempts to display much of what cannot be seen. Green is the first of this year's visiting writers at Eastern Washington University. She'll be hosting a virtual event open to the public on Friday, October 13th at 7:30 p.m. Kendra, thanks so much for chatting with me.
A total pleasure to be here, Chris.
So let's start. Your new book, The Museum of Whales You'll Never See, takes us to some really bizarre and interesting places in Iceland. What is it about Iceland that made it a particularly interesting place to explore and write about museums?
Yeah, if you think about a place that doesn't have the traditional material of material culture, right? No clay that's really workable, no metal deposits, not enough wood to burn to make either of those substances that you could make into something else, and really not that much wood, period, that for most of Iceland's history, 70% of the wooden objects they have are made out of driftwood, and the rest of it's probably shipwreck. There's just not the same relationship to stuff that you might be used to in other places. And so if you have a place that, because it is remote, because it is an island, because it has been poor, has a sort of precious sense of objects, if you have a place that is really good at stories and has had a profound shift in how much stuff it can acquire, that is close enough in that perspective to see what has changed and what they're at risk of losing, boy, you're in a good place to have people that are very good at museums.
Well, before we get too much farther into it, let's pause and get a little bit of the sound of your writing, because you you tell these stories and bring us to these places so beautifully. So would you be willing to read a short section from the book for us?
I'd love to. The book as a whole captures about 30, in some way or another, 30 museums from Iceland, which is 10% of what they have. It's an astonishing number of museums for a population so small. And the book alternates between these longer, sort of more reported pieces that focused on an individual institution and these short cabinets that give you just a glimpse at places that were too beguiling not to mention. So this is The Museum of the Story I Heard. The way I heard the story, it was a set designer. It was a man who had made his life in the theater, made risers and curtains and backdrops and trapdoors, made them transform a stage, made forests and sailing ships and utopias and apocalypses, made the future and the past. It was such a man, one who made liminal, unearthly spaces, made light and shadow tell a story. Indeed, it was this man, nearing the end of his career, who looked around and realized that for everything he had built, every staircase and tower and support and rig and river and night sky, there was nothing left to see. Everything had been torn down, all of it, by design, every last board, so that now everything he had ever built had been unbuilt. All those worlds were gone. Everything he had made perfectly had been undone and unmade and disappeared. In the face of all this nothingness, he made a museum instead. I love this story. I love its elegance and its revolution. I love a problem neatly solved. I have heard this story from different sources, and on occasion I have heard it told about other museums. But I do not ever hear this story from him. The story he tells is about the horseback trips in the highlands, the groups he led with his wife in the summers. Even in those stories, he does not say everything, He does not talk about their favorite horses. He does not describe those wild places, the ancient tiny mosses, those windswept, fragile blanks, the weather changing in an instant, the rain sideways and sleep-frozen hands. He talks about those days riding, about how they told the sagas to pass the time, to say something about the places they were passing through. They told about the ugly sun and the child dead on the ice and the sorceress queen and how poetry can save a man's life. They told these stories, and the writers loved them. The man and his wife wondered that their companions hadn't heard them before. These weren't even the obscure sagas. These were stories that survived for centuries, survived as canon and were celebrated, caused English literature PhDs of a certain era to learn Icelandic just to read them. And here they were, unsaid and unknown. So they reached a conclusion, a museum. And then, together, they made a decision. They made plans and they made choices, and they made a place to be walked through. They built a thing to be heard.
That was my guest, A. Kendra Green, reading from her book, The Museum of Wales You'll Never See. So I also want to talk about the visual design of this book, because in addition to being a writer, you're a book artist and printmaker. And, you know, even though this book is published by a major publisher, I imagine you must have had some say in its appearance, which is unusual in a few ways. There's, of course, your beautiful line drawings throughout the book, but also the text on the page is blue, which is unusual. I don't think I've ever read a book that's entirely in a colored ink. So tell us about the design of this book and where it came from.
I feel so lucky that I was in a position as a letterpress printer and a bookbinder, a write a chapbook, an artist book designer, that when I landed this deal with Penguin, in my first conversation with my editor, John Siciliano, who is tremendous, who mostly does Penguin classics and works in translation, one of the first things he ever asked me was if I had thoughts on trim size, which isn't necessarily the first thing you ask a writer. But I did. I knew instantly it's supposed to be a little bit taller and a little bit more narrow, closer to a sort of Victorian proportion. And for a book that's so much about the relationship between object and story, of course, this book holding all of these stories was going to need to be a beautiful and meaningful object in itself.
My guest has been A. Kendra Green. Her new book is The Museum of Wales You've Never Seen. She'll be hosting a virtual event as part of EWU's Visiting Writers Series on Friday, November 13th at 7:30 p.m. You can find more information about the event by searching for Visiting Writers at ewu.edu. Kendra, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me.
I so appreciate your attention and your thoughtful questions, and maybe cross paths again, Chris. I really appreciate it.
I hope so. Maybe in person someday.